Hello, and welcome to this fourth episode of Season 4 of the Regulatory Radio podcast series. My name is Wayne Howell, head of the Regulatory Staffing Team at FRAIR, and in this episode, we will be discussing the CMC challenges encountered during the development of biological products. We shall discuss this in more detail with our speaker, Michael Lamble. Michael, or Mick for short, is our Senior Vice President of Medicinal Product Regulatory Affairs at FRAIR, and in this podcast series, he'll take us through some of the regulatory requirements relating to the biological products in the EU in future episodes. So let's hear from Mick now.
Hello, Wayne. Thanks. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
Mick, can we start with some of the areas where challenges might arise in the development of biologics and biosimilars?
That's a good place to start, Wayne. Biologics are structurally very complex molecules, and during development of manufacturing processes and testing regimes, a number of CMC-related challenges may arise as a consequence, including viral clearance, identification and isolation of impurities, batch-to-batch variability, manufacturing, and cell bank maintenance, to name a few.
You mentioned the complex structure. Mick, can you talk a little bit about the CMC-related challenges arising from this during development of biosimilars?
Sure, Wayne. In a previous episode, we talked about the need to establish a quality target product profile, or QTPP, early in the development cycle of a biosimilar, and mentioned that this requires extensive analytical testing, including physicochemical and biological assays, to build a thorough understanding of the reference product. One of the challenges in doing this lies in determining the appropriate number of lots to evaluate and ensuring that the chosen lots are representative of the potential product variability and product degradation during storage. Another challenge is establishing release specifications which need to be consistent with those of the reference product. Throughout development, multiple lots of the reference product may be obtained and characterized to establish as clear a picture as possible of the product's biological activity, mode of action, primary, secondary, and tertiary characteristics, and post-translational modifications. Also, the developer will determine how the product post-translational modifications, including oxidation, deamidation, and other stress-induced modifications, alter the biological function and activity and potentially the mode of action. Any new knowledge gained from continued testing of the reference product can then be incorporated into the manufacturing process development to optimize the manufacturing of the biosimilar and introduce sufficient controls to ensure consistent product quality.
Can you say a few words about glycosylation, what it is, the challenges associated with it, and how the product could be affected?
Yes, Wayne. We mentioned post-translation modifications just now, and perhaps the best known class of these is glycosylation, the addition of sugar residues to amino acids bearing amino or hydroxyl groups. Sugar moieties can be short or longer and more branched. Glycosylation can be a critical quality attribute in biologic manufacturing for glycosylated proteins. It has implications on the half-life, immunogenicity, and pharmacokinetics of therapeutic monoclonal antibodies, or MABs, and must be closely monitored throughout drug development and manufacturing. To address this, advances have been made primarily in upstream processing, including mammalian cell line engineering, to include more predictably glycosylated MABs and the addition of media supplements during fermentation to control the metabolic pathways involved in glycosylation.
Great. And can you also talk about the importance of viral clearance in manufacturing of biologics and biosimilars?
Sure. The risk of viral contamination is a feature common to all biotechnological products derived from cell lines. Such contamination could have a serious clinical consequence and can arise from contamination of the source cell lines themselves or from adventitious introduction of virus during production. It's expected that the safety of these products with regard to viral contamination can be reasonably assured only by the application of a virus testing program and assessment of virus removal and inactivation achieved by the manufacturing process. Three approaches have evolved to control the potential viral contamination of biotechnology products. Firstly, selecting and testing cell lines and other raw materials, including media components, for the absence of undesirable viruses, which may be infectious and/or pathogenic for humans. Second, assessing the capacity of the production process to clear infectious viruses. And thirdly, testing the product at appropriate steps of production for absence of contaminating infectious viruses. All testing suffers from the inherent limitation of quantitative virus assays. Confidence that infectious virus is absent from the final product will in many instances not be derived solely from direct testing for their presence. The type and extent of viral tests and viral clearance studies required at different steps of production will depend on various factors and should be considered on a case-by-case and step-by-step basis. The factors to take account of include the extent of cell bank characterization and qualification, the nature of any viruses detected, and culture medium constituents and culture methods.
Thanks for that, Mick. Impurities, of course, are an important topic for any medicine. Can you give us some insights on this for biologic and biosimilar products?
Well, certain product-related impurities or process-related impurities could have a significant impact on safety. Also, in many cases, the evaluation of the similarity of the impurity profile of a biosimilar with that of an original biologic will be very difficult due to the limits of the tests and the other measurement technologies. Impurities may be either process or product related, and they can be of known structure, partially characterized, or unidentified. These materials should be characterized to the extent possible. Process-related impurities include those that are derived from the manufacturing process itself, for example, cell substrates, cell culture, or downstream processing-related impurities. Product-related impurities are molecular variants arising during manufacture and/or storage of the product, which do not have properties comparable to those of the desired product with respect to activity, efficacy, and safety. In addition, the acceptance criteria for impurities should be based on data obtained from lots used in preclinical and clinical studies and manufacturing consistency lots. Individual and/or collective acceptance criteria for impurities should be set as appropriate.
Thanks, Mick. Can we now move on to cover some thoughts about batch-to-batch variability in manufacturing?
Certainly, Wayne. Biological medicines are derived from living organisms, which are naturally variable. Therefore, the active substance in the final biological medicine can have an inherent degree of minor variability, sometimes known as microheterogeneity. This minor variability must fall within the acceptable range to ensure consistent safety and efficacy. This is achieved by adjusting the manufacturing process to ensure that the active substance meets the defined specification range. This degree of minor variability can be present between batches of the same biological medicine, particularly when manufacturing processes are modified during the commercial life of the medicine. Strict controls are always applied to ensure that despite this inherent variability, there is batch-to-batch consistency and that the differences do not affect safety or efficacy. In practice, variability is very low when using a consistent manufacturing process.
So that product quality is maintained during manufacture, what are some of the strategies that can be followed?
Okay. Maintaining the product quality during manufacture is always a challenge for biologicals. Adequate process design and knowledge of its capability is essential to develop a manufacturing process which is controlled and reproducible, yielding a drug substance or drug product that meets specifications. In this respect, limits are justified based on critical information gained from the entire process spanning the period from early development through to commercial scale production. In-process tests are performed at critical decision-making steps and at other steps where data serve to confirm the consistency of the process during the production of both drug substance and drug product. The results of in-process testing may be recorded as action limits or reported as acceptance criteria. The use of internal action limits by the manufacturer to assess the consistency of the process at less critical steps is also important. The quality of the raw materials used in the production of the drug substance or drug product should meet standards appropriate for their intended use. Biological materials or reagents may require careful evaluation to establish the presence or absence of undesirable, endogenous, or adventitious agents.
Vic, and the final question for today, what are some of the challenges that might arise in cell bank maintenance?
When a cell line is first established, a cryopreserved archive stock at low passage is essential to protect against accidental loss of the culture. The cell lines likely to be used over an extended period, a reliable supply of cultures is achieved by establishing a two-tiered master and working cell bank system. And for example, confirmation of viability, purity, identity, and quality control of cultures recovered from cryopreserved cells should be performed. And lastly, it's important also to prevent a contaminated cell substrate from being used in production and to avoid a loss of product availability or development time resulting from the need to recreate a cell bank, which is found to be unusable due to contamination.
Many thanks, Mick. That was an insightful fourth episode introducing us to various challenges during the development of biological products.
Thanks, Wayne. It was my pleasure.
And following this episode on biological products and related CMC challenges, stay tuned for more informative discussions in the episodes ahead.